are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prues. My format, it's a Tuesday, which means it's a political day, but not today. If you want to call us, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And I have my annual guest, we'll call him my annual repeat offender, because we talk about this every year. It's coming into spring. It's March. We talk about the spring arrival of Canadian geese at Creamer's Field. And I have with the state of Alaska, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Mark Ross, biologist, but primarily an educator out there at Creamer's Field, in the studio with me. Mark, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
What is this, like 6 years in a row for us now? 7 years in a row from the beginning?
Yeah, it could be.
You're a goose watcher. Oh, that's right. You don't have anything to do with the contest, but...
I am the official word of the touchdown.
You're right.
Of the geese, and there's got to be three of them with feet on the ground. At least three. There must be three. Not one, not two, three. Because in the past, there have been some... true offenders that have
nefarious,
kind of...
Nefarious characters.
Yeah, nefarious characters have released a goose, a Canada goose. People can keep Canada goose domestically, so to avoid that, we need three.
So...
They travel in flocks, you know.
Shut the flock up. These are the official rules of the 2023 Goose Watch Contest. No purchase is necessary to enter or win. A purchase will not increase your chance of winning. Void where prohibited. To enter, stop by the following locations to sign up. Frontier Outfitters at the Gavora Mall at 253rd Street in Fairbanks. Century Hardware Plaza at 301 North Santa Claus Lane in North Pole. Number one, fill out the official entry guess with your guess of date, hour, and minute of the first flock of three or more will arrive at Creamer's Field. All entries are guesses, and guesses are to be made at the official sign-up locations, Frontier Outfitters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Two, only one guest per person per day is allowed. Three, must be 18 years of age or older to enter to win. Four, employees or relatives, employees of Rob Ingstead licenses or poor Ingstead licenses, or Last Frontier Media Active, State of Alaska Department of Fish and Game, or other groups and sponsors are not eligible, so I'm not eligible for this. Five, the official first goose arrival will be determined by Mark Ross here with the Alaska State Department of Fish and Game. Alaska Frontier Media Active LLC reserves a right to verify, determine the official time, date, and entry closest to that time, and also determine the official winner. One way to win. Six, their entrant who guesses the closest date and time without going over of the official arrival time of the first flock of Canadian geese of three or more at Creamer's Field, as documented by Mark Ross here with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, wins $500. The winning entry will be verified, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Once official time is verified, the radio station will contact the winner by phone. The Goose Watch Contest begins 12:01 a.m. Alaska's Daylight Savings Time on March 9th, 2023. It ends when the first flock of three or more arrives at Creamer's Field, as determined by Mark Ross of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and verified by Last Frontier Media Active LLC.
Boy, my name's all over in there.
I know, I'm throwing it in there.
Hey,
it's not in there, but I threw it in there.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, I'm going to throw in some fine print. Here's some fine print to be aware of. You know, not all white-cheeked geese are Canada geese anymore. But I,
you,
being the official determiner of the touchdown, see, there's now a small...
Lesser?
Well, no, not even smaller than that.
Wow.
It's called cackling goose. It's a species.
that comes up right now.
Yeah, 2005. We've never mentioned that, but if a cackling goose shows up, we'll allow that as
Canadian geese.
Look, I got air quotes. Okay. We'll allow that as Canada geese. So technically, there's got to be three white-cheeked geese with feet on the ground because cackling goose is no longer a subspecies of Canada goose. They're the little tiny ones. They're about the size of a mallard duck, but okay. They look just like a Canada goose.
How long have you been doing this?
Oh, probably 20 years or so. 20 years or so, and we've had some episodes. We've had some episodes of, I remember some people very irate that they didn't win. They came in and they were pretty upset, red and shaking, and we do our best. I do my best. I've got microphones around the building. Yeah. I had those for 20 years. I hear those geese in the air. Mm-hmm. They always seem to, they don't come in at night.
I don't think
they've ever touched down at night. It's always in the morning.
When do they bring in the snow plows?
Oh, that's the right around April 1st, and the volunteers, usually Kiwanis Group, will distribute the grain, which is a tradition at Creamer's Field since way, way, way back. Even the place is called Creamer's Field because the farmers, the Creamer family, were the main proprietors for most of the history of the dairy, and they would put out manure with leftover grain. And Charlie Creamer, the patriarch, I read a newspaper article one year, he put out a bunch of potatoes, a bunch of old, because they had a potato crop they used it as a cash crop.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the old bunkhouse was originally a root cellar. That's where it had stormed. So he put out a bunch of old potatoes, and snow geese showed up and just ate them all. I'm trying to think of his actual quote, but snow geese, we don't see them as much as was back in the 60s and 70s, but they do show up. Now, people should be aware, they may see a goose out there. You got to take a close look, because white-fronted geese now, a couple years have showed up before Canada geese. A white-fronted goose looks quite different, of course, from a distance. It's a goose silhouette. You got to take a close look.
When do the cranes start showing up?
Right at the end of April. And it's just a few. They just blow through.
Yeah.
They go right to their nesting areas. We never have more than... during the month of May, probably never more than 20 or so cranes hanging around. Those are the sub-adults that aren't breeding, most likely. The breeders are, boom, they're out to their nesting spots in the boreal forest, little openings in the boreal forest, openings around fields. So there's never a lot of cranes. But the trumpeter swans.
Growing.
You can't confuse a swan for a goose.
Nope.
But they have a couple times showed up now before the Canada geese. But prior to the year like 2010, Canada geese, the white-cheeked geese were always the birds that showed up first on the fields.
Ready for a phone call?
Already?
Yeah. You're popular, man. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Mark Ross, and your name is?
Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mark, thanks for doing the show again. Appreciate it.
Okay, Jeff, what's up?
Where's the best place to see snow bunting?
Yeah, snow buntings. Well, they're going to come up. Those are the first migratory birds into the... Well, actually, golden eagles are the first. And you can see them in the Alaska Range, middle of March. Snow buntings are right on their heels. Snow buntings from the middle of March or so. Along the highways is the best place, like the Parks Highway or the Richardson Highway. And they will show up. They will be at Creamer's a bit. Last year, there was a flock of 100 that hung around primarily in April. But if you want to see them quick, you got to keep your eyes open along the roads. Now, don't confuse them with red poles. A lot of red poles, the small finches, smaller than the buntings. But they'll be along the roadsides, maybe getting some grit also.
Jeff,
did that help?
It did. And one more quick question. What happened to all the snow geese? You said they used to come into Fairbanks a lot, but I never see them.
Yeah, snow geese, their populations in Alaska are very, very healthy. In fact, for a decade or so, they're actually considered to be kind of a little destructive to the North Slope because, you know, You think of a snow geese as this beautiful white bird, but, oh, there are little pigs up there just routing, just rooting around in the tundra, tearing up the vegetation for forage, and their populations are healthy. They just don't come through this part of the interior like they used to back in the 60s and 70s. But I think in 2013, when we had that late winter, you know, went right till June 1st, I believe we had they were slowed up by the snowpack a bit, and I think we had a bunch hanging around that year. But
Jeff, thank you for the phone call. We're going to take another one. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Mark Ross, and your name is?
Yes, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
You were talking about the bald eagles earlier. And
golden eagles.
Golden eagles.
Golden eagles.
Huh?
Golden eagles he was talking about.
Golden eagles come through early, and they come through in March. By mid-March, you can see them in the Alaska Range. I mentioned golden, not bald. But did you have a bald eagle question?
Yeah, I just saw a bald eagle 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, there's a couple. I think we had a record Christmas bird count. You know, the Chena's open, and it's been open for years and years, and now there's there used to only be 100 ducks on the Chena, but folks started feeding them. Now there have been Christmas counts of 600 ducks. So a few eagles are beginning to hang around the Chena. We'll see them at the Chena and at the dump. And I think it was a record count. I think there may have been, well, you could check the Audubon, go to Arctic Audubon, check their archives. There could have been 5 or 6 this year.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick phone call, then we got to go to commercial. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, I've got a couple questions. One, real quick, is on top of the power poles going towards the North Pole, there's a huge nest.
I
want to know what those are. And if people are really wanting to see the Canadian geese and stuff, man, I went up to Swan Neck a few years back, and it was incredible. I'll get off and listen.
Okay, sure. Those power pole nests, those big nests, those are osprey. An osprey is a raptor. A lot of people call them fish hawks. And those are osprey nests. And they seem to do pretty well in the interior. There's always been a few of them around. There's a nest in gold. There's a traditional nest right in Fox, just right outside of the town of Fox. And then down to Richardson Highway, you can see some nests also. And what was that other question?
Canadian geese.
What about them?
Where you can see them at, stuff like that.
Oh, where you see them?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he said he saw a whole bunch at Swan Neck on the Tanana.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you got to fly out there, or I think that's what he said.
Okay.
You got to fly your boat out there.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break and we'll be back after these messages.
Well, I should have.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Some coaches know how to get the best from their team, have clear expectations, build the confidence of each player, and don't underestimate the power of a bribe with a stop by Brewster's after the game. Everyone loves to get rewards, and with as many Brewtizers as there are personalities on your team, there is something for everyone at Brewster's. From the fried mozzarella sticks, the signature steak bits, to Southwest egg rolls, everyone will feel like a winner at Brewster's.
Great food, great Alaskan spirits, that's Brewster's.
Do you find yourself with an inexperienced attorney or a 33% contingency fee? Get a review of your personal injury case from an attorney with years of experience at Jason Wiener & Associates free of charge, and give yourself peace of mind while giving us peace of mind that your personal injury matter is being properly handled. We offer a wide range of contingency fee rates, including a 20% or hourly rate contingency agreement on select cases. Jason Wiener & Associates, 907-452-5196. We're here to help.
Nulo pet food, available at Cold Spot for healthy pets. Nulo Front Runner dog food formulas have a careful selection of ingredients, like protein-rich turkey, salmon, and duck, and low glycemic carb sources like chickpeas, barley, and sweet potatoes. Nulo approaches pet food the way they approach everything. No shortcuts allowed. Front Runner dog food, as well as other Nulo diets and treats, are available at Cold Spot for healthy pets, Interior Alaska's favorite place to shop for their four-legged furry family members since 1986.
Fairbanks Urology, an Alaska UroLift Center of Excellence and expert care provider for men's health needs. With Dr. Tony Nima.
Benign prostatic hyperplasia, more commonly known as BPH, is not prostate cancer. 50% of men over 50 have BPH, and that number grows as men get older. UroLift is a minimally invasive procedure that can help with BPH symptoms as well as save your bladder. It is done in the office and does not involve surgery or general anesthesia.
Visit FairbanksUrology.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
More clouds than sun today with highs around 31. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, lows dip down to about 23. Chance of snow tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 28. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies Thursday, decreasing clouds by Friday. Highs in the mid-20s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mark Ross of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, biologist out of Kramer's Field, in the studio with me here. Now, you said something interesting in between the break. What is the age of can a goose get up to, a Canadian?
Probably, I mean, there's some 15-year-old geese out there, so...
They know their way back.
They know their way back, and they have a memory. You know, they're wild animals. When they find some feed, places with feed, such as Creamer's Field in April, I'm sure that's burned in their memory. And we're both looking at a graph right now from 1975 to 2022, Canada goose arrival. And you can see, whoa, it's a pretty big 45-degree angle of increasing earlier arrivals. Like back in 1980, the average date of arrival was like the 16th of April. Now the average date of arrival is up around probably around the 5th or 7th.
Fifth of April.
But big snowpacks the last couple of years, I believe, have slowed them up. You see, whoa, 2020, they didn't show up till 17th of April, which was what you might see decades ago. Then 21 was the 11th. Those are both big snowpack years.
Then in 2019 is March 30th.
Yeah, and that was a low snow. That was only 57 inches of snow. We average 70 inches. That's the historic average of snow. So 57 is pretty low. And that means breakup happens fast. Open ground. Open ground moves them along. But you never know what's happening south of the border in Canada, you know.
Yeah.
Weather and snowpack there would slow them up too. But once they start getting close, I'm sure that memory kicks in. Tons of grain at the Creamer's Fields.
And a great landing spot.
Yep, great landing spot prepared by the services of the International Airport. That's tradition.
So what's the time frames we have? Golden eagles coming in. Then after them come the...
Snow buntings.
Then after them come
the geese.
Geese
generally
say
geese.
April 1st.
And now swans. See, trumpeter swans, we're seeing them because their populations have just burgeoned incredibly in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's 100,000 trumpeter swans now. That number doesn't mean much until you think back like 30 years ago there was maybe 20 or 30,000. They've just skyrocketed in numbers. Habitat protection and allowed that. They were an endangered species back in 1970. Overhunting traditionally in the 19th century and early and into the 20th century really knocked them way, way down. But now, trumpeter swans, 100,000. That's my guess. There was a continent-wide count. Last year, I think, because of the pandemic, it was delayed. They do it every 5 years. And I predict there's 100,000 in the latest continent-wide count. So the swans come in. Duck species come in after the geese and swans. Now, you're going to see mallard ducks early because there are hundreds of ducks that primarily mallards that overwinter on the Chena because of the open water.
The greenheads.
The greenheads. So you'll see some of them, but those are not migratory birds. Those are overwintering ducks on the Opuntia.
Hmm. So let's look at Creamer's Field over the summer. What classes do you have going on out there?
Oh, well, everything kicks in real big now. Right now we're preparing for huge programs. We've got a spring migration celebration. It's like a festival, and that's going to happen right at the end of April. The fifth grade bird watch is a traditional program that's been going on since 1967, back when the refuge was first founded as a refuge. And that's going to be the third week of April. Sometimes we max out at more than 800 students. And so that's a big deal. And then into the summer, just lots of nature walks. The Friends of Creamer's Field, works in cooperation with the Fish and Game Department, and they provide a lot of services that are educational programs and interpretive programs. And it just gets very busy. The Wild Arts Walk, that happens in June, and just a lot going on. And right now is preparation. Camp Habitat, that we're in preparation for that now. So, yeah, lots of stuff.
Once it starts, it never stops until they're all gone and it's froze up.
That's right.
And then you get the rest
for the
winter.
Things slow down. The end of September, things slow down.
You know, you've been out there for how long now, about 20 years?
Maybe closer to 25.
Okay. So tell us some of the secrets about Creamer's Field.
Well, the refuge now is 2,500 acres. Most people think of the historic buildings and the 300 acres of fields. You know, that's the that's where the concentration of lots of activity goes on. But in addition to that, east, west, and north, another 2,000-plus acres. And a lot of that, should I use the word pristine? I mean, that acreage, which is primarily black spruce, tussock shrub habitat, was never cut over, I believe. There were some historic burns in some of that acreage, but it's like the past Pleistocene out there when woolly mammoths.
I was out there yesterday, and with the snow and everything, I was out on the boardwalk, going out to the tower and coming back.
And, well, you climb that tower and look out.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's mushing. Right now, there's a lot of mushing activity because there's 30 miles of trails out there. But
and it seemed like, boy, am I on a lunar landscape or something out of, Dickens. Yeah, it just seemed so neat. Just beautiful.
We rarely have cameras out there, but 2 years ago, we got a couple of shots of a couple of wolves that were running on the trails out there.
So, yeah, I was keeping my dog close just in case any, big bad wolves were out there. Keeping him close. That's something else. Do you have any wolves or foxes out there now?
None were seen on the refuge this year. Of course, there were tracks on Noy Slough, which is just across the college road from the refuge. So.
I saw that wolf out there about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw it on the...
I saw it on a street, on the north side of Noy Slough, on the south side of College Road. Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, it might have come across into the... I mean, there was... it was either 2019 or 2020. A visitor shared photographs of right at the main trailhead, where I saw you yesterday, you started your walk.
Yeah.
They have a photograph of that of a black wolf right at that trailhead, and then also right off of College Road on the other side of the refuge fence. It was trotting along, and it was 30 below zero, so that's tough.
He's built for it. Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. We're going to give you some John Cougar Mellencamp bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back after that.
More Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Two of the four Americans kidnapped in a northern Mexico border town have been killed, another injured.
Family members of the Americans say they had traveled together from South Carolina so one of them could get a tummy tuck from a doctor in Matamoros. Shortly after they entered the city on Friday, they were caught in the crossfire of rival cartel groups, and video showed them being loaded into a pickup truck by gunmen.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Ukraine has vowed to avenge the death of a prisoner of war it says was murdered by Russian soldiers in a video widely shared online.
He's been identified as Timofey Shadura, who went missing during fighting in the eastern city of Bakhmut. The 12-second video shows an apparently unarmed man in uniform with a Ukrainian insignia on his arm. He says, "Slava Ukraini, glory to Ukraine," before slumping to the ground as gunshots ring out.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports an Amur tiger named Carol at the Alaska Zoo died at the age of 19 last Friday. The Alaska Zoo made the announcement on Sunday, saying his death was due to complications from old age. Carol is survived by his brother, Kunali. The two came over together from the Rosamond Gifford Zoo in Syracuse, New York, in 2008. "He helped us to educate thousands of visitors about his critically endangered species," the Alaska Zoo wrote in a Facebook post. "To say he is missed is an understatement. There is a huge hole in our hearts, but we will do our best to continue caring for Kunali and all of the zoo animals." According to the zoo website, Amur tigers are native to the Amur-Ussuri River region in eastern Russia. Their diet consists of mostly deer and wild pigs. And tonight, come out and cheer on the Special Olympics floor hockey team as they take on the Alaska Nanook hockey team up at the Patty Center. Doors open up at 6:30 and the puck drops at 7 o'clock. Just another great part of Hockey Week in Fairbanks. Check out Hockey Week in Fairbanks on Facebook for more details.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Total Toyo wants you to know if you have a Toyo stove, you can help yourself by doing some easy preventative maintenance, such as checking for any leaks on the fuel tank to the unit, checking the intake side of the flue pipe for exhaust smells, soot, and damage such as holes, and changing the external filter. But if you need a professional, now's the best time to call Total Toyo. They can get your stove cleaned and serviced. That way you can rest assured that the rest of winter your Toyo stove will run cleanly and efficiently. Call 488-9179 to talk to the professionals at Total Toyo.
Bridgestone tires are engineered to perform so you can drive with confidence. Now through March 31st, buy four eligible Bridgestone tires and get up to $100 back by mail on a Bridgestone prepaid Visa card. From all season to snow tires, Bridgestone has the solution for your driving needs and budgets. See American Tire and Auto today and save on a great set of tires at 3101 South Cushman. If you can't get away from your busy schedule, give them a call or go to americantire.net. Restrictions apply. See American Tire or BridgestoneRewards.com for details.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. A look at Alaska's budding new industry brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. The Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. to kick off our Saturday night food programming. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Did you know Italians don't eat bread as an appetizer? It's tradition for the bread to be used at the end of the meal to mop up the sauce on the plate. Good thing you don't live in Italy, because once our waitstaff brings over your homemade garlic bread, it is nearly impossible not to grab some immediately after smelling it. You can try to be Italian and save the bread until after your meal, or you can be yourself and eat it before, during, and after.
Geraldo's Italian Restaurant and Pizzeria. Say yes to garlic, say yes to Geraldo's.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have biologists out at the refuge, Creamer's Field, 2,500 acres. Biologist Mark Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the viewing. When does the viewing really start? You know, when you're seeing the geese, the cranes, the swans. When do you want to have your telephoto lens ready to go out there?
Oh, yeah. It's a photographer hotspot, of course, you know. We got another big snowpack. We're above 70 inches already. We could get more snow. Why am I mentioning more snow? That means lots of water. When that melts, like last year, we had extensive meltwater ponds for weeks and weeks. That, of course, pulls in the waterfowl, pulls in the shorebirds. You know, on the end of April, May 1st, there could be as many as 9,000 birds out there. That's ducks, geese, swans, combined with a few songbirds. And the big concentrations can start as early as, say, April 15 or April 20. That's possible, you know, to have above 500 birds out there. Canada geese will dominate. The white-cheeked geese and Canada geese will dominate the fields for the first couple weeks. And the first migratory ducks to arrive are always pintails. Flocks of pintails will come in, and then the other species too. So by the third week of April, a few thousand birds on the fields. great chance for good photographs out there.
That's when it starts.
Yeah, and the snow buntings, of course, could come in. Let's see. Well, you never know. A week, 10 days, there could be small flocks of snow bunting showing up. But often they show up around like the university first, the university area, some of the fields there or the slopes below the facility buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But they could be at Creamer's Field. Now, we've got, if you want to get some good snow bunting shots, there's a single birch tree that is right behind one of the front ponds, and from the front parking lot you can get great shots of perhaps 100 or more snow buntings up in that birch tree. And the snow buntings, of course, they're fairly large birds. They're twice the size, more than twice the size of like a chickadee or a redpoll, and they've got that extensive white plumage. And then when they fly in the sun, oh, it's a spectacular thing. They fly in a group, and as they swirl and turn, the sunlight flashes off that white plumage, and they'll be singing out there. Well, yeah, that's great.
How does a person volunteer to help out there?
Just contact myself or the Friends of Creamer's Field. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because to run the little visitor center, the farmhouse visitor center, during the summer, it takes a staff of like 20 volunteers to keep that going every day of the week, every day of the week from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We rotate shifts, so contact me at the refuge or contact the Friends of Creamer's Field. We'd be happy to have you help us out in that regard. Also, we're gearing up now for our big volunteer training program,
mm-hmm.
Sharing Nature and History at the refuge. Teachers can take it for credit. For Ed 500 credit, certified teachers, and anybody from the community can come out and attend the sessions, and that'll help you get a good background information about wildlife and history of the refuge, and you can share that with others in the visitor center or on nature walks.
When do these happen?
That's going to start right at the end of this month. We're going to have our first session Thursdays at 6 p.m. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Go to the Friends of Creamer's Field website and see a flyer with more information.
You're going to have a busy summer. You're coming into your season.
Always big. Always. The wave approaches. It comes with the sunlight.
So basically in October, you go and hibernate for a bit?
Well, we always have programs going on out there. And, things slow down, but the big wave of activity is just huge. Many, many thousands of people attending many, many programs, and it continues throughout the year.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is walk that refuge, you know, 2 to 3 times a week with my dog. And it's just great. It's just great. He gets his yayas out, you know, running all over the place. I let him off leash. I pick up after him.
Okay.
I know you didn't hear
all
that.
All right.
But,
yeah.
But no. Yeah.
Okay, let's not promote letting dogs off the leash.
Well, say I might have once or twice in the past.
Okay, all
right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But it's just a great walk. It's just a great walk to see people out there and enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I mean, lots and lots of folks out there doing lots of different recreational activities. Very, very little conflict out there. It amazes me how there's not more like dog fights and such.
No, you know, whenever I'm near another dog, no matter what, my dog's on a leash and so is the other dog. People are always very cognizant about that. They all want to sniff each other, and you keep them, you know, a little bit apart.
Now, the North American's coming up.
Yeah.
That's, the weekend of the 18th? So be very careful then. I mean, the race courses are very well marked with the barriers here and there. But everyone, please be careful and have your dogs on a leash. I mean, it's fine to go out. You can get very close to the racers as they pass by and get great photographs and just enjoy the sun and everything. But
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Be polite to other
users. Next weekend. Next Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
This Friday, I interview one of the people who operate the Open North American Championships. And so that refuge gets so many uses out of it. You can go hunting out there.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. You can hunt. Of course, the fields are pretty much off limits to hunting.
Yeah.
And you have to be beyond that 300 acres to the north, east, and west. You have to be beyond it about a quarter of a mile or so. If someone does want to hunt, go to the main lobby and pick up the informational pamphlet about hunting on the refuge and registering to hunt.
But it's available. Yeah. Great spot. And how many bird sanctuaries are in the city limits?
Right.
Just that one.
Probably very few.
Yeah. Was there about 400 acres in the city limits there?
Maybe a couple hundred. Yeah. The city limits are just south of the farmhouse. They run east and west right through that wooden bus stop. And mm-hmm. So it might be a couple hundred acres maybe. Maybe a little less than that.
Yeah.
But those trumpeter swans come in there. We've had 150 trumpeter swans within the city limits. We could be the trumpeter swan
capital of America.
Capital of the United States.
If not Alaska anyway. In regards to urban visitation.
Oh, yeah. To have that with trumpeter swans within the city limits.
And you're so right about they're really prolific, really coming out. I remember, you know, about 15 years ago when I saw the first one that I saw. And now they're such a beautiful but dominant thing out there. I mean, when you see a trumpeter swan, it's not only beautiful, but it dominates the view.
Oh, well, yeah. It's their wingspan is 8 feet.
Yeah.
A large male swan can be close to 40 pounds. You know, the average mallard duck is, what, six or 7 pounds, maybe? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they are huge. They're huge. As they swim around, everything gets out of their way. And if they don't,
they get knocked over, yeah.
Boom, they just get poked. They just poke very elegantly, slowly, just give them a jab. Although once, on the ice, a trumpeter swan grabbed a pintail duck and just flung it across the ice to get it out of the way.
I believe it. They wherever they go, they dominate. Simple as that. Do you have any foxes or anything like that that live out there in the summer?
Oh, predators, yeah. There's foxes are very common on the refuge. Not that many sightings this year, although there is a den probably pretty close by. Foxes very common. And at times, foxes will patrol the fields looking for easy pickings, primarily of ducks.
Yes, they do.
Coyotes are rare. Coyote sightings, haven't had one of those in 5 or 7 years, but coyotes often come through. And as I mentioned, a couple of years ago, wolves were kind of moving around a little bit, just a couple individual wolves.
Okay. Well, we're going to be coming up to our break here in about a minute or two, and you have to leave after that. You have a 12 o'clock appointment you have to break off to.
Right.
How do you want to finish off your portion of this, sir?
I just want to say thanks for inviting me here. I enjoy
our
this
annual
little
discussion.
Yeah, this annual program, and
it's fun when I come across you know out at Birch Hill or out there at the refuge. You know, hey buddy, you know, yeah. Hey, you don't kick me off the site. That's nice of you.
Yeah.
You did try and kick me off Birch Hill one time. I was walking with my dog, you know, and we had like a half inch of snow, and you're trying to tell me you can't be out here with your dog. It's for cross country skiers now. And I'm looking at you, and I go, you're tearing up your skis, Mark.
No, man, that was more than that. That was 3 or 4 inches. That's all it takes.
I was out there walking unencumbered with my dog.
Yeah.
And you're the only cross country skier out there. You're the first one. But that's what you love. It's what you do. You're recovering from your winter of cross-country skiing. What's the big race you're going to be in?
The Kazoot. The Sonat Kazoot. That's the traditional big end-of-the-year race for Fairbanks. You know, there's
train. You've won that many times?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. I won the 40K once. I should have won it twice. But, the 50K. Well, we're not on the river anymore, so it is now. The 50-kilometer Sonat Kazoot is the most difficult ski race in North America.
Wow.
Because it's not on the – there are no flat sections anymore on the river. It's just all hills.
Well, sir, I greatly appreciate your time in the studio here with me. You have a good afternoon. We're going to let you get out to your meeting in Fairbanks. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Men all over town are raving about Fairbanks Urology.
I had to go to the emergency room, and they realized that my bladder was blocked, and so they put a catheter inside of me. It was very awkward until I came here to Fairbanks Urology. The surgery that he came up with was totally not invasive. About 2 weeks later, the catheter was able to be removed. I think the man's a saint, honestly. Really, for what he's done for me.
Make the call today, 328-0989 for Fairbanks Urology.
Explore winter trails you never thought possible. Stand, float, walk on snow with better traction and stability than walking down the street. Modern snowshoes are the perfection of a thousand-year-old idea. They're lightweight and versatile, easy and fun to use for all ages. If you can walk, you can snowshoe. Get the exercise you crave. Let it snow. Go explore. Start today. No lift ticket required. But first, find the right style and the right fit at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
As you organize those spring cleaning chores, make sure you put your boiler at the top of the list and make your appointment now with Cowles Heating. Winters are never easy, and your heating system has been working hard to keep you and your family safe and comfortable. Cowles Heating reminds you that it's time to schedule that spring inspection and tune-up. Find Cowles Heating online, on Facebook, and on the Richardson Highway. Call Cowles Heating today to schedule your spring service appointment. 479-HEAT. That's 479-HEAT for Cowles Heating.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy today with a high of 31. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, lows dip down to about 23. Chance for snow tomorrow, highs around 28. Decreasing clouds Thursday into Friday with highs in the mid-20s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio. It's just us now, and got a few texts from some good people and appreciating our show today. But also, Al, who's a good friend of mine, and he would know this. Al would know this. He says, Falconers are allowed to hunt on the front fields. Hey, of course, birds of prey can hunt anything out there, as they probably do already, and enjoying that. But let's go through some more of the official rules or eligibility restrictions. The contest is open to all persons 18 years of age or older who reside in Fairbanks, North Star Borough area, i.e., known from the lower 48. Employees of KFAR, KTDZ, KWDD, the station, Robbing said licenses, Thoring said license LLC, their corporate parent subsidies and affiliates, sounds like this is written by an attorney, as advertising agencies, participants, sponsors, promotion partners, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and other media groups of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and members of the immediate families of those living in the same households are ineligible to participate or win. Subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations, void or prohibited. Okay, how about that? Now, the prize. There's one cash prize in this contest. The prize is $500 for the winning guess of the time, the date closest to the official time record recorded of the arrival of the first flock of Canadian geese, three or more, to Kramer's Fields without going over. The prize may be picked up at the radio station office at the address below. We're at 529 Fifth Avenue, second floor. The winner forfeits any prize or prize certificate not claimed within 2 business days, Monday through Friday, or business days, being notified of the winning. In the event that a winner is not in town to claim the prize, an alternate winner will be chosen. Oh my goodness. How legalese do I have to go into this? Oh my goodness. There's a whole second page of this stuff. Basically, you're going to get an IRS W-9 form. Oh my goodness. You know, back in the good old days, they'd have Penske's call for cash, and all you had to do is get on the, when the phone rang at the end of the, at the end of the news show, just say, get on the, when you got on the phone, you said big 30, and if you did that, you won. If you didn't, you lost. But there was no W-9s, there was no disclaimers. Huh. We have gone into a different world, but hey, it's still a very good world. Now, you heard the commercial for Fairbanks Foodies this Friday from 5:30 to 6. We, this month, the month of March, is the taco month. And every week, you know, I bring in someone who prepares a special type of taco. Last Saturday, it was Nevada Walton, and she is of Mexican descent. Her mom was from Mexico. And she makes a really incredible taco. And we bring you through the process of what she does, how she does it. It's quite a process. And how she cooks both her corn tortillas and her flour tortillas. This Saturday, you're going to hear from Nadine Winters. She's a good friend of mine. And she's going to be bringing you through the seafood or the fish taco process. She's very well known at making those. So if you want to, learn how to make a really good taco. We're on KFAR Audio Archives. You can go there. If you can't listen on Saturday nights, you can always go listen to the audio archives and learn how to make an incredible taco. And then we go, and I go out during the week and go hit a few taco places and give a review of them. Now, we recorded the show for last Saturday night on a Wednesday or Thursday evening. Then we went here in the studio. It's taped, so it's not live. And Nevada and I. And then we went over to the library. And what do they have on their short stories, which is their daily changed out menu? They had Korean tacos on there. And so I had one, got an order, and they were incredibly delicious. So I'm going to find someone who comes and makes Korean tacos and puts it on, we'll put it on the air also, and we'll do that. Anyway, this month is all about tacos, and hope you enjoy it. I'm going to Gallo's on Wednesday night, and one of my favorites always been the Taco King. For the money, for the time frame, very good, very well, very affordable. And they give you about 5 different styles. And boy, you can add all the salsa, sour cream, that sort of stuff that you want. And there you go. It's very good. So anyway, March is the taco month. Now, it's getting very warm and beautiful outside. So, my goodness, you got a pair of cross-country skis? Get them out. Now through April 15th, you got 45 days of incredible cross-country skiing or hikes. I was out at Kramer's Field yesterday, had a great time. This is beautiful. And be careful that you don't overdress for it, because you're out there, you know, you're out there for about 30 to 40 minutes, and you can overheat very easily. And, you know, be always dress in a layer that you can take off if you need to and wrap around your waist, that sort of thing. If you have dogs that need to be walked like mine do. And hey, Mark isn't here, so I'm just going to tell you, when I'm not around anyone, I turn him loose and he's running all over the place. He never gets more than 50 yards from me. He knows the rules. I got to be able to see him. If there is another person with another dog that's coming, I put him on the leash. We all walk by. But bring your dogs out there. It's a great place to go. It's a wonderful place to go. And it's boy, you go out in the boreal forest out there where the elevated platform is, and you take that trail, the boardwalk, and it is beautiful. It is magical. You're looking at everything. And, Fairbanks, it should be on your to-do list. It really should be on your to-do list. And I hope you do it. Now, also, next weekend is next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is the Open North American Championships. You know, Fairbanks has always been the dog sledding capital of the world. I mean, it just is. Jeff Stoddard Racetrack, the season, what's going on out there. And then also, the weekend after that, we're coming into the finals of the snow machine races, the Jurassic Classic, the old timers and stuff like that. So you have a lot of stuff that's going on right now in Fairbanks, and I really hope that you enjoy it. We're coming in. March is an incredible month to be out here. And also, get out to Tanana Lakes. My goodness. That area out there is just made for Fairbanks. You have ice skating out there, cross-country skiing, hikes, all sorts of stuff right now. And it is very nice and very good. And we have so many what I call crown jewels. Tanana Lakes is one. Kramer's Field is one. Birch Hill is one. The cross-country ski trails out at UAF is another one. And so it's just a lot of fun. Now, there's another thing that you can go try. They have cross-country ski trails out on the golf course on Farmers Loop. And they're right there. They're all nicely maintained, you know, 1 mile to 4 miles, depending on the lengths you want to go. And when you're done, you can go into the Greens restaurant there, have a beverage, have some food, have a snack, warm up, enjoy. But March and April is our get out in the winter months. You know, the second half of February it starts. March, oh, it's beautiful out there. And also, be looking for the Northern Lights. Everyone, it is beautiful, incredible Northern Lights out there. And not hard to get to go out and get out of town to get a really good view of them. You drive out of town 20 to 30 minutes at the most, and you're going to see some beautiful Northern Lights. Very easy to do. And I had a couple scientists up here last month. Rod Boyce brought them in from the Geophysical Institute. And we're in a window now of about another 3 years where we have this incredible amount of Northern Lights that will be going on. So anyway, you know I love this town. All the things that we get to do, be it from eating incredible tacos to watching the incredible Northern Lights to seeing all the geese and ducks when they arrive to getting out there and shooting a geese or a duck when they arrive. There's so many things for you to do in Fairbanks, Alaska. Let's take advantage of it. Let's enjoy it. That's why we're up here. We're in the best place in the world. Get out and enjoy it. And anyway. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to Mark Ross for coming in here again and spending time with me. We do it every year, and it's the rite of spring. It lets you know that we are there, we're doing it. So you guys have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow, and have a great day.